Okay, so we're diving into something you probably see every day but don't think too much about. Toilet partitions.
Yeah, those things.
Yeah. It's Santana Products Incorporated versus Bulbrick Washroom Equipment Incorporated. Accusations flying around about misleading fire safety claims. It's a whole mess of who sued who and when, and it really gets into some big legal ideas.
And I think this will be really fascinating for our listeners because this case, even though it seems like it's really niche, it actually has some broader implications for how businesses compete and how legal strategies really play out.
Exactly. So we're going to cut through all the legal jargon today and really get to the bottom of what went down, what Santana was saying Bulbrick did wrong, the legal principles at play, and of course, what the court ultimately decided in this battle over bathroom fixtures.
Yeah, let's break it down.
Awesome. So to start us off, who are the main players here?
Well, we've got Santana Products. They're the ones making these HDPE plastic toilet partitions. And then on the other side, you've got Mobrick Washroom Equipment, and they're a competitor in the same market. And then kind of thrown in there is Formica Corporation as a third party.
Okay, so we got our partition makers, and then Formica's role we'll uncover as we go, I guess.
Exactly.
All right, so what was the central conflict here? What was Santana saying Bulbrick did wrong to kick all this legal stuff off?
Basically, Santana claimed that Bulbrick was running this whole campaign to like shut them out of the market. The main thing they were using was spreading this idea that Santana's partitions were a fire hazard.
So it wasn't just like Bulbrick saying, hey, our product's better. It was like,
Right.
hey, their product's dangerous.
Exactly. They were trying to scare people away.
Gotcha. So Santana felt like Bulbrick was going way beyond just promoting their own stuff and actively trying to sabotage Santana by spreading this fear about fire safety.
Right.
And that obviously led to a lot of legal action. So what were the legal tools that Santana used in this fight?
They threw a lot at them. First, they went for the Sherman Act, which is like the foundation of antitrust law.
Good guns.
Yeah. Then they filed claims under the Lanham Act, which is all about false advertising. And then they even went for tortious interference, saying Bulbrick's actions were messing up their potential business deals.
Okay, so they were coming at them from multiple angles here.
Yeah, and to add to the whole mess, Bulbrick actually tried to pull Formica into the case with a third-party claim for indemnification.
Okay, so it's getting messy fast.
It is.
So let's focus on that Sherman Act claim for a second.
Oh.
Santana was arguing that Bulbrick was doing something called an unreasonable restraint of trade. For those of us who aren't lawyers, what does that actually mean?
Right. So under Section 1 of the Sherman Act, what really matters is showing that there was some agreement or conspiracy that was unfairly limiting competition in a specific market. So Santana was saying that Bulbrick was all part of this plan to block their product from the market, and that hurts competition. You know, a really classic example of an unreasonable restraint of trade is a group boycott. Like when a bunch of competitors get together and say, hey, we're not going to do business with this one company.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
And Santana's case was similar in that they were arguing that this whole campaign was basically like a boycott of their HDPE partitions.
So for our listeners out there understanding, this means that just, talking bad about a competitor's product, even if it's really harsh, that's not automatically breaking the law.
Right.
The law cares about actions that really restrict competition in the market. Like if companies secretly agree on prices or if they actually stop a competitor from even selling their products.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not just about being aggressive, it's about actually working together to manipulate the market.
Right. It has to be about an agreement.
Gotcha. So that clears that up a bit. Now let's talk about the Lanham Act claim. This one's all about false advertising, right? What was it specifically that Santana accused Bulbrick of doing that was crossing the line?
Well, Santana basically said that Bulbrick was lying about the fire safety of their partitions, and they were using deceptive marketing to really push that idea and scare away potential customers.
Like, what kind of stuff were they doing?
Well, they said that Bulbrick was showing misleading videos that were actually made by Formica, and these videos made Santana's product look way more flammable than it really was.
So, not only making those claims, but like using visuals to kind of twist the truth.
Exactly, like a visual manipulation.
Yeah. And there's this whole other part of this case that gets really interesting. It has to do with time and this legal concept of latches. Most of us don't throw that word around every day.
Yeah.
So what is latches and why did it become such a problem for Santana's Lanham Act claim?
So latches is all about fairness in the legal system. It basically means if you wait way too long to sue someone and that delay ends up hurting the other side, you might not be allowed to go forward with your case, even if there isn't a specific time limit that's passed. So it's like the court saying, look, you snooze, you lose if you wait too long and it's unfair to the other side. So in this case, the court actually said that Santana waited too long to sue Bobrick for this false advertising. They knew about these claims way back in like 1988 or 1989, but they didn't actually file the lawsuit until 1996.
Dozen years later.
Yeah. And because of that delay, the court said that their Lanham Act claim was blocked by latches.
Interesting. So it's not just about a deadline. It's about whether the delay itself created an unfair situation.
Exactly. It's about fairness for everyone.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. Now, there's another interesting legal protection that came up in this case. It was related to Santana's claim of tortious interference. It's called the Noer-Pennington Doctrine. What is that all about, and how did it protect Bobrick in this case?
So the Noer-Pennington Doctrine is all about protecting people's right to petition the government. It basically says that you can't be sued for something you did that hurt a competitor if what you did involved trying to influence the government. So that could be lobbying lawmakers, working with regulatory agencies, or even just filing lawsuits.
So they can't get in trouble just for talking to the government.
Right. The idea is to make sure people can speak freely and try to influence public policy without being afraid of getting sued. In this case, Santana said that Bobrick was interfering with their business by trying to get stricter fire safety standards put in place, standards that would obviously hurt companies selling HDPE partitions.
Yeah.
But the court said that the Noer-Pennington Doctrine protected Bobrick from this claim because trying to influence those standards was seen as a protected form of petitioning the government.
Wow. So even if what Bobrick was saying about fire safety wasn't true, the fact that they were talking to the government about it was protected.
Exactly.
That's pretty interesting.
It is.
So companies can push for regulations that might help them, even if it hurts their competitors, as long as it's through the government.
Right.
Okay. Now let's talk about Bobrick trying to bring Formica into all of this. They filed what are called third-party claims against Formica for something called contribution and indemnification. What were they hoping to get out of that?
It was basically Bobrick trying to either share the blame with Formica or make Formica take on the whole responsibility if they ended up losing the case.
Okay.
Contribution would mean that if Bobrick had to pay Santana money, Formica would have to pay some of that too. Indemnification is basically saying, hey, Formica, you have to pay everything.
Gotcha.
Bobrick was saying that because Formica made those videos that Santana said were misleading, they should be held responsible too, at least for some of the damages.
Okay, so trying to shift some of the burden?
Right.
But those claims didn't really work out under federal law, did they?
No, they didn't.
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, the problem was that federal law, specifically the Sherman Act and the Lanham Act, they don't actually say that one defendant can force another to contribute or indemnify them.
So there's no automatic right to bring someone else in to share the costs.
Right. And federal courts have mostly said that unless the law specifically says you can do that, you can't.
Right.
So since those laws about antitrust and false advertising don't include those things, Bobrick couldn't use federal law to make Formica pay anything.
So federal law was a dead end for Bobrick.
Yeah.
But then our notes mentioned something about state law and a settlement between Santana and Formica under New York law. How did that settlement affect Bobrick's chances of getting anything from Formica?
This is where things get kind of complicated. Since Bobrick couldn't use federal law, they had to see if state law would help them. And since the settlement between Santana and Formica happened in New York, that's the law the court looked at.
Okay.
And New York law has a rule that says if a plaintiff like Santana agrees to release one defendant from liability, that release also protects that defendant from any claims for contribution from other defendants.
So because Santana and Formica settled, Bobrick couldn't go after Formica anymore.
Right, exactly. And that's really important because it shows how settlements can have these ripple effects even on people who weren't part of the original agreement.
Yeah, that's wild. That one decision between Santana and Formica ended up affecting Bobrick in a big way.
Exactly. It's all connected.
Okay, let's try to wrap all of this up and understand what the court ultimately decided. So starting with the Sherman Act claim, why didn't that work out for Santana?
Well, the court said that even though Bobrick's marketing might have been misleading or negative towards Santana's product, it didn't actually violate antitrust law. They were basically saying that false advertising on its own isn't enough to break the Sherman Act.
So there has to be something more than just bad-mouthing the competition.
Right. Santana would have had to prove that Bobrick was doing something more deliberate to hurt competition in the market, like making secret deals with other companies to fix prices or working together to stop Santana from selling its products altogether.
So the court saw what Bobrick did as being more like really tough competition, but not actually illegal.
Exactly.
Okay. And we talked about the Lanham Act claim already, but just to be sure everyone's on the same page, The court shut that down because of...
Lanches, because Santana waited too long to sue.
Right. And the tortious interference claim.
Right.
What were the main reasons it didn't succeed?
There were two big reasons. One, Santana couldn't prove that Bobrick's actions directly caused them to lose specific business deals. They needed to show a really clear link between what Bobrick was doing and the money they lost.
Okay.
And the second reason was that Noah Pennington doctrine that we talked about. Remember, that protected Bobrick's lobbying efforts about the fire safety standards. And that was a major part of what Santana was complaining about.
Right. And lastly, those third-party claims against Formica. We talked about why the federal claims failed and how that New York settlement shut down the contribution claim.
Just to be absolutely clear, can you quickly explain the difference between contribution and indemnification again? Sure. So contribution is about sharing the responsibility. If Bobrick won on that debt, Formica would have to pay part of whatever Bobrick owed to Santana. Indemnification is about one party taking on all the liability. Bobrick was basically saying that Formica should pay everything because those videos were at the heart of Santana's lawsuit.
Okay.
But because Santana also said that Bobrick itself did some bad stuff on purpose, the court said that indemnification wasn't appropriate either.
So in the end, Santana didn't win on any of their main claims, and Bobrick couldn't get Formica to pay anything. That brings us to the big question. What are the key things our listeners should take away from all this? What should they be thinking about after this deep dive into Santana versus Bobrick?
I think there are a couple of really important lessons here. The first one is that in antitrust law, just because a company is using aggressive or even misleading marketing, that doesn't mean they're automatically breaking the law. You have to be able to show that they're actually doing something to hurt competition in the market as a whole, like working with other companies to fix prices or keep a competitor out. And the second big takeaway is about settlements. That agreement between Santana and Formica didn't just affect them. It had a huge impact on Bobrick's case down the line. So if you're ever involved in something like this, it's really important to think carefully about what a settlement means, not just for you, but for everyone involved.
So thinking about the big picture and potential consequences.
Exactly.
It's a lot more complicated than it might seem at first.
Right, it is.
So for all of you listening out there, this case, Santana versus Bobrick, really highlights how complicated business lawsuits can be, especially when there are so many legal arguments involved. We've talked about how these procedural rules like Lashes and the specifics of state and federal law about contribution and indemnification, they can be just as important as the actual accusations themselves. And it makes you think about how the timing of legal action and the specific details of settlement agreements can have these really big unintended consequences.
Yeah, and it's a good reminder that the legal world is full of complexities, and understanding those nuances is key to navigating it effectively.
Right. So this case really pushes us to think about the line between tough competition and illegal actions, and how important it is to act quickly to protect your rights. What other legal battles with surprising twists and turns should we explore in a future deep dive?
That's a great question.
We'll have to find some more cases that highlight the importance of understanding all these details and how they can have huge effects on the outcome of a case.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Santana versus Bobrick. We'll catch you next time.
See ya. Bye.